This story is from our episode about pushing for change. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. When Bill Osmundsen was in high school, he took a trip to Europe. His classmates met with a bunch of European students, and they had a discussion about what was better or worse in each country. One of the European kids brought up a point that made Bill mad.
"You promote fluoride in the water." And I go, "What? That helps teeth. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that." And she said, "Well, we disagree with that here in Europe."
Bill thought that was crazy. He actually went on to become a dentist. But now he's part of a vocal movement pushing against adding fluoride to our drinking water. One of the big arguments is that fluoride lowers IQ in children. The anti-fluoride movement has been marginalized for a long time, but more recently, it has gained steam for two reasons. They now have a powerful advocate in Robert Kennedy Jr., President Trump's pick for a Secretary of Health and Human Services. And just last year, a California judge ordered the Environmental Protection Agency to address potential risks of water fluoridation. In response, many scientists and advocates are now stepping up their efforts to defend fluoride in drinking water. So there's a lot of push and pull here. Nicole Leonard looked into it.
Before Bill Osmundsen was a dentist, he got a master's degree in public health. But something one of his professors said didn't sit well with him at all.
"I want you to remember that your job is to promote policy. Your job is not to give your own opinions, but you're to promote what you're told to promote."
Bill bristled at this idea, being part of the establishment, without being able to think through issues on his own. He ended up choosing dentistry as his profession, working in a town in Idaho where fluoride was added to the drinking water, which Bill liked for its power to reduce cavities by about 25%.
"I told my assistant, I'm going to tell you where these people live by looking in their mouths." And so the next patient came in and I'd look in their mouths and I would see good, strong, nice teeth. And I'd say, "This person lives in the city," because they were getting fluoridation. They had good teeth. And then the next patient would come in and I'd look in there and they had lots of problems. And I'd go, "Oh, they live out in the country." And I was about 80, 90% correct in my guessing over the next 20, 30 patients. And what I was looking at helped convince me that fluoridation had benefit.
But over time, little by little, Bill started to question the safety of fluoride in the drinking water supply. For example, while looking at the label on a tube of fluoride toothpaste.
"And it said, 'Do not swallow.' Well, that's pretty simple. Do not swallow. And if you do, then contact the poison control center."
Bill knew that with anything that's potentially poisonous, the dose is a key factor. And that part started rubbing Bill the wrong way, that fluoride was added to the water by his municipality.
"You're just shoving it down my throat, whether I like it or not, without any label, without FDA approval, without, I mean, come on, there's no dosage control. People drink different amounts of water."
And in trying to look deeper into potential impacts on fluoride exposure, Bill says he discovered something else.
"The science on fluoride ingestion is not high quality. And so I promoted fluoridation for 25 years. Why? Because I never looked at the science. I just did what my profession recommended, and I followed what they recommended, and I didn't look at the science."
Bill says when he reviewed the science, he found links between high levels of fluoride and damage to teeth, especially white spots on teeth. But far worse, potential links between fluoride and cancer and lowered IQs in children. To him, it was enough to speak up, especially for kids.
"Of course I'm going to try to defend their brains. Am I not going to speak up? Knowing what I knew and not speak up to try to help parents and children."
And that's what Bill continued to do. He retired a couple years ago after practicing for 46 years. He now lives in Washington State with his family and remains active in efforts to stop water fluoridation.
I can remember when the Public Health Service first suggested fluoridating drinking water in about 1962. And there were people who called it a communist plot.
Linda Birnbaum is a toxicologist and microbiologist. She worked as a governmental scientist for 40 years and has been director at both the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences and the National Toxicology Program. Over her career, Linda oversaw colleagues as they researched the effects of fluoride and water fluoridation. To her, there's merit to studies that have shown that fluoride can be harmful to human health and development at certain levels. But there is far less data, if any, showing harm caused by the current levels of fluoride in American drinking water, which is set at 0.7 milligrams per liter.
You know, does fluoride, inorganic fluoride, have the potential to be developmentally neurotoxic? The answer is yes. The question of is 0.7, which is the current public health recommendation, can it be associated with IQ deficits? I think the answer is we're really not sure.
To Linda, that uncertainty is important enough to warrant further exploration. But she says other scientists and dental experts may be less willing to explore this issue. She blames years of teachings about water fluoridation.
They've been told for the last 60 years that this is a good thing to do and it's important. It was a belief structure. And, you know, when you've been told that your whole professional career, it's hard to change a mindset.
But now that mindset may have to change with the decision by California District Court Judge Edward Chen last September. After looking at the IQ study, he determined there was enough evidence to rule that the Environmental Protection Agency must address potential risks of water fluoridation. Attorney Michael Connett of firm Seery & Glimstad represented the plaintiffs and led arguments against the EPA in court. He specializes in litigation related to toxic substances.
It was great to see the result. You know, there's no question about that. You know, and it's been a long time coming with a lot of hard work.
Part of that hard work was to change the attitudes about people who are opposing water fluoridation, people who've long been viewed as fringe, anti-science, or conspiracy theorists, the cultural baggage.
A lot of people, when they hear about fluoride, they immediately think of Dr. Strangelove and the crazy Colonel Ripper.
Here's the scene in question from the 1964 political satire film, where General Jack Ripper explains the dangers of water fluoridation to Captain Mandrake.
Have you ever heard of a thing called fluoridation? Fluoridation of water?
Yes, I have heard of that, Jack, yes.
Well, do you know what it is?
No, I don't know what it is now.
Do you realize that fluoridation is the most monstrously conceived and dangerous communist plot we have ever had to face?
It's really hard for some people to take this issue seriously and to really believe that there could be something wrong with this practice of water fluoridation.
But Michael has been familiar with this issue for a long time. He first learned about it when he was attending St. Lawrence University in Canton, New York, and the town was considering removing fluoride from its drinking water in the early 2000s.
I didn't know anything about it. My parents, you know, are very actively involved with environmental health issues. They had been working for decades on garbage incineration and the hazards of that. My dad's a chemist. My mom was, you know, editing this newsletter on waste issues. They became interested in this fluoride issue, and through them, I learned about it.
Michael says he continued to dig deeper into water fluoridation. He became involved in the early years of the Fluoride Action Network, an anti-fluoride advocacy organization. The group hopes that its recent win against the EPA means the federal agency will have to take action. But lawyers for the EPA are now in the early process of filing an appeal, which means this could turn into a drawn-out fight on a topic that many scientists argue does not warrant investigation. A majority of dental experts and scientists maintain that water fluoridation is safe at the current levels and not harmful. Researchers like Scott Tomar point to decades of studies and data showing that fluoride continues to prevent and protect against cavities, even though increased sugar consumption has cut into those successes. He says there's no valid evidence that water fluoridation at standard levels in the U.S. negatively impacts health or development. Scott is a professor and associate dean for prevention and public health sciences at the University of Illinois' Chicago College of Dentistry. He previously worked as an oral health epidemiologist at the CDC, and he's taken a critical look at studies like the latest ones linking fluoride and lower IQ, which were included in a meta-analysis or larger review of existing science on the issue.
The levels that we're talking about in the United States, 0.7 milligrams per liter, is less than one half of the lowest level that they even looked at. So the bottom line is there's no evidence from that systematic review that there's any association between the levels used in fluoridated water and any impact on IQ.
Scott echoes comments and criticisms made by other scientists and experts affiliated with major dental organizations and associations. They say many of these studies were poorly designed, contain errors, and were seriously flawed in ways that invalidate the findings. But the studies and the subsequent headlines like fluoride linked to lower IQ have created doubt among the public, and not just limited to the fluoride in water.
I'm hearing from all of my colleagues in dentistry, you know, a not insignificant percentage of their patients, you know, no longer want topical fluorides on their child when they go in for their checkup visits. They're looking for non-fluoride toothpaste.
He says it's becoming harder and harder to cut through the noise.
It's so easy to sow fear and doubt in the public, and so difficult to reassure people that, no, we've looked at the best available science. The best available science continues to support that this is safe and effective.
Helen Hawkey is seeing the fallout in her daily work. She's the executive director of the Pennsylvania Coalition for Oral Health, which supports communities in maintaining or starting water fluoridation.
You know, it just takes, you know, one person to say, oh, I read that fluoride lowers IQ, and so we can't have fluoride in our water, so let's take it out.
Since 2010, the coalition has helped towns and cities that have struggled with the costs of fluoridation or had trouble locating a supplier for the mineral. But Helen says the biggest issue is misinformation about water fluoridation, which can lead to a rollback or communities stopping fluoridating.
You know, water boards, they're not scientists, they're not researchers. They're usually everyday folks from the community, and they want to do what's right for their community. So we kind of view it as when there's a rollback, we've got to go. And our first step is always to find out what the reasoning is.
Helen says sometimes that involves acknowledging what people are reading and seeing in the news headlines and helping them put it into context. She and others who do oral public health work are used to dealing with criticism and challenges to data and research. But in this moment, she says, it feels more intense, especially with politicians interested in reducing or banning water fluoridation.
Just in the last 4 months, you know, we had a community that was voting on a rollback. And the justification they gave in the newspaper was that, hey, the federal government's going to stop doing this anyway, so we may as well do it now. And we're like, wait a minute. Nothing even happened yet.
Change can be hard, especially when there's so much disagreement on if that change is actually needed. For anti-fluoridation advocate and retired dentist Bill Osmundson, this is an important moment, though, where this discussion could get more attention and could perhaps no longer be viewed as fringe. Taking the stance he has taken has not been easy.
It comes with serious costs. And when you go out on a limb, you're out on a limb.
He says he often underestimated the stress of fighting for this issue.
I knew this would be some pushback. Did I know it would become so intense on my part? No, I don't think I would have the stomach problems, the acid problems in my stomach. I think I could sleep better if I was just retired.
But Bill says he's not done fighting. Even when there are no guarantees that anything will change regarding water fluoridation anytime soon.
That story was reported by Nicole Leonard.